within your district, if you, as you're thinking through the elements that are important to your geography and your citizens, why are you the better candidate for your district race? So we'll start here with John, if we could.
Good afternoon, Tiger Bay. All right. I'm so excited to be running for city council again because I love this city, and we are just doing amazing things. But I want to step back a few minutes because you asked the question of why I'm the best. I don't know if I'm the best candidate, but I'm definitely the most experienced candidate. But that experience didn't just happen overnight. I started out coaching Little League on Davis Island, had great fun. But you get involved in the community. Next thing I know, I'm on my neighborhood association, and they elected me president of my neighborhood association on Davis Island. Sandy Friedman recognized my leadership, and she said, John, why don't you serve on the variance board? Variance board is extremely important because it touches individual families who might want to expand their house or put in a pool or something like that. But they have to do it, make sure that it has minimal impact on their neighbors. And those are the tough decisions that we make.
Thank you, John, and welcome.
First, good morning, good afternoon, rather. I'm Nicholas Glover. I'm a candidate for City Council District 3, citywide. So if you live anywhere in the city, you can vote in this race, and I'm hopeful to earn your support. A little bit about me personally. I live in Tampa Heights, just around the corner with my wife of 6 years, Caitlin, and our two small children, Aiden, who's 3, and Ellery, who just turned 1. And quite literally, I'm running in this race because of an unwillingness that I see on the part of elected officials to take on the very big issues that impact our community every single day. We know what they are. They are the same 3 issues year after year, cycle after cycle. Transportation, housing, education. I'm running because I think we need a fresh look with a new perspective. We know that we have a strong mayor form of government, but I reject the fact that just because we have a strong mayor form of government, that means we have to have a weak council. So I'm running with the ultimate goal of bringing the city together, each one of our individual unique communities, to create a more inclusive, more united Tampa. I look forward to earning your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Good timing. Thank you.
Good afternoon. They say success, or success is not built on experience or your tenure in role. It's built on your ability to deliver results, and it's built on your ability to be effective in your role. And I think most people would agree that that's how we're going to move Tampa forward. We talk a little bit about those results myself. I'm a neighborhood association president who's created fiscal transparency within my association. I've made sure we move the needle on public safety, and we've developed strong relationships with our city officials and city leaders to move the needle in our own neighborhood. I've been honored to serve as the chair of the Budget Advisory Committee for the city, making official recommendations to the City Council on the $1 billion budget over the last 3 years. And I've made changes in that, providing efficiencies in our prioritization process, and also moving just from not how we spend money, but how we can create efficiencies and how we can create additional revenue streams to not impact the taxpayer.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Viva. Oh, so what makes me different? Well, I believe having the work experience inside transportation, housing, technology, and public safety for the last 10 years makes me different. I'm the only candidate that has actual hands-on work experience in all areas of my platform. I've been serving this community long before I decided to run by being part of the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Advisory Council. For the last 6 years, I've served as their president, and I'm part of the Sheriff's Shooting Review Board. My goal is to make sure that we are all feel safe and our communities have access to housing, have access to transportation, and the ability to succeed through technology-driven jobs. This is what I believe will impact the quality of our lives and the lives for future generations. So I ask for your vote and support on March 5th.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Bill Carlson, running for District 4. That's the South Tampa seat. Unfortunately, my friend Lee and I are running against each other, and there's another person in the race. I've been involved in the business community and economic development community for 25 years, advocating to diversify our economy, but I've also been a neighborhood activist for 10 or 12 years, starting with my local neighborhood and local issues like potholes, et cetera, but that eventually evolved into a nonprofit that we call Cafe Con Tampa. We meet every Friday. A lot of you go to our events, and we talk about issues. We try to build advocacy and capacity for neighborhoods to be able to push to get what they need in the community. But I think we also need to create a bigger vision for Tampa, a higher vision for Tampa. We should have higher expectations than just filling potholes in our community. We need to rebuild the arts in the community and not cut the arts budget anymore. We need to respect historic preservation, including the African American community. We need to make sure we're mindful of civil rights. We need to continue to build the innovation economy and diversify our economy in lots of ways. Look forward to talking about other issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Lee Lowry. I'm your candidate for City Council District 4. A little bit about me. I've been a Tampa homeowner for 23 years. I'm a single working mom of two teenagers, and my day job is at Hillsborough Community College, where I raise money for scholarships. I'm also a community and civic activist for many years, and I invite you to look at my bio since I only have a minute. But so why am I in this race? Well, last night at my kickoff, Mayor Bob Buckhorn said, Tampa needs Lee Lowry. So I think that states it. We are at a great place in our city. We are truly going to be that vibrant, exciting city, the best in the Southeast and beyond. But there are some things we still need to do, some foundational things to get there. I'm committed to quality of life in our neighborhoods. First, safety. I've been endorsed by the Police Benevolent Association, and I am the best equipped candidate to keep our families safe. Second, infrastructure. We cannot build a 21st century city on 19th century pipes and sewers. And finally, traffic and transit options. Our citizens need to be able to get where they're going in a timely manner and safely. So thank you so much. I'm glad to be here today. District 4,
welcome.
Lee Lowry.
Good afternoon. I am Wendy Pepe, and I'm running for City Council District 6. Thank you, Tiger Bay, for having me. I have lived in Tampa for 36 years. I'm a graduate of USF. Yes, go Bulls. And I am married to Mike Pepe, and we have three sons. I think I got in this race, well, I know I got in this race because I'm passionate. I am a business owner and I want to see us move it forward. But I want to see us move what we have on a tax that we've just passed to fix the problems we have. And in business, you're only as good as the last problem you solved. And we have to move it forward and we have to move it with technology and we have to make our neighborhoods safer. I know I have a lot to offer with that, and we want to do it responsibly. We want to make sure that we have a strong mayor, and we want to work cohesively with that mayor and city council to work together to keep us moving forward so we have continuous economic development. We have an old infrastructure. We have to update our transportation so that we can reach all people for the connectivity of getting everybody
together.
Thank you,
and welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Guido Maniscalco. I'm your Tampa City Council representative for District 6. 4 years ago, you gave me the honor to serve this community on the Tampa City Council, and I'm seeking re-election to this seat. It's been a very fast 4 years, but we've been able to accomplish a lot. I fought against TBX and interstate expansion. I supported the All for Transportation referendum because I believe and I know that we need to make the investment in our community for the roads, for the sidewalks, for the crosswalks. We need to move away from that car-centric mentality and focus on people, keeping our children safe and our pedestrians safe. It's a big city. We're experiencing what I call a renaissance. I'm born and raised here. I've never seen this kind of growth in my lifetime, and it's only going to get better, and we need the leadership to continue moving Tampa in the right direction moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank everybody for having me here. My name is Louis Vieira. I'm the Tampa City Councilman for District 7. I'd say that there's a couple of things. Number one, I've been a listener throughout the last 2 years I've been on Tampa City Council. I've held 12 town halls. It's also been about reinvigorating the civic involvement in the new and North Tampa area, and we've gotten results. Things like a brand new fire station, things like expansion of the rec center, $2.5 million for improvements at Bush and Armenia, $400,000 for improvements additionally on Bush Boulevard through FDOT. A number of different things whenever it comes to autism and sensory-friendly improvements throughout our city. But most of all, the thing that I'm proudest of is that I've been the kind of leader who takes a stand on citywide issues, regardless of how they're going to do for me politically. All for transportation. I got a lot of warnings about endorsing that, and guess what? I endorsed it. Amendment 4, I was the loudest local official to support Amendment 4. And on things like the Warrior Games, which supports our injured and disabled veterans, I've been a leading local elected official. I fight for my district, and I fight for this city. I'm proud to represent everybody, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Quentin F. Robinson, your candidate for Tampa City Council District 7. And here's why I'm running. There's a need for servant leadership and equity in governance. We do have an incumbent, but what he failed to mention is that neighborhoods that are south of Fowler Avenue have been overlooked and underserved for more than 20 years. It's time that that changes. My platform is about equity. Equity in governance is what these District 7 needs, as well as our city and as well as the city of Tampa. Presently, I have two members here from the communities of North Tampa who live in North Tampa, who understand what needs to take place in North Tampa. It's unfortunate that we believe that District 7 continues to get overlooked because of low voter turnout. That's an excuse and a cop-out to continue to do nothing for residents that need assistance and help. We can revitalize and empower District 7. I'm your candidate for Tampa City Council District 7, and I'm asking for your vote.
Welcome. We're glad you're here. We got to the end. You can hold on to that. You can hold on to that. We now open up for member questions. And last time, if you were here, you remember we had a microphone in the middle, because what we're trying to do is make sure that we're not picking and choosing. You're coming up and having access to ask your question. We've put it over on this side and have chairs. So whoever wants to be first, if you'll make your way over, and then anybody subsequently can wait, because it is a little bit of a time to get through all the candidates with the questions and so on. But I see a couple making their way. Go, Betty, go. Okay, we got her first. Okay. Oh, she's going for coffee. I can't even believe it. Yes.
You're elected to council, you'll be working with a new mayor. On the campaign trail, what do you believe is the worst idea of any of the mayoral candidates so far? And what is the best idea by any of the mayoral candidates thus far that you would love to implement once you're on council?
Well, that's a lot to say in 1 minute. To be honest with you all, I haven't been following mayor's race. I have been committed to speaking to the residents within District 7 to understand what their values are and what they need to have accomplished in District 7. Whoever our next mayor would be, he or she, I would love to work with, and hopefully they would follow our plan to empower all of District 7 and make that inclusive of what the City of Tampa and District 7 needs to see. Again, I'm your candidate for Tampa City Council District 7. I have a passion to serve and understand what needs to take place in District 7 for it all to be recognized as one. We can't continue to allow any elected official to overlook specific communities because of low voter turnout or a particular zip code or the demographics of a neighborhood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I don't want to call anybody in my name, but I would say a general idea of putting a 10% across the board budget cut in the city. You know, a lot of people say that there's a war on science and politics. I always say there's a war on math. You take a look at the federal government, we are spending about $1 trillion more than what we take in. And when you talk about an across the board 10% cut, you know, 2/3 of our governing day-to-day budget is public safety. What's that going to do for our first responders? And then I think whenever it comes to the best idea is something that actually all candidates generally agree on, something that's very important to my heart, which is continuing on with Mayor Buckhorn's autism and sensory-friendly program. I have a brother who's developmentally disabled. I know what it's like to see parents have anguish because of a kid's special needs. I know what it's like to see a sibling be bullied. Anything that continues to get across Tampa values of tolerance and pluralism and humanity and seeing us the family of Tampa, I'm in support of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd have to agree with my colleague, Councilman Vieira, on that the 10% budget cut, because where is it really going to come from and who is it going to affect? But the best idea, I'm not going to name names, but in regards to affordable housing, the city has a lot of vacant lots on their rolls on our list. And we've discussed briefly the issue with container homes and tiny homes, because there are folks, and many of them work for the City of Tampa and serve this community, that have to live outside the city, but then they have to commute in. We're really not an affordable community. We need to look at different options where people that are either fresh out of college with a certain income or working for the City of Tampa, options that they can stay and live within the City of Tampa. That affordable housing question and answer from one of the candidates is something that I would agree with and I would say is one of the best ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I have to agree. And looking at the budget, we cannot cut a budget. We are going to be adding to it with the taxes that we passed. We actually, though, have to keep it. We cannot cut anything, because that'll just quit our economic development. With that being said, some of the best ideas still go back to transportation. We can have affordable housing, we can have everything, but if we cannot get to our jobs and if we cannot do the connectivity, then we cannot get there. And that affordable housing in places will not bring them to their jobs so that they can have good paying jobs and be able to have a good quality of life. I look at it that
That overall has been the consensus with the mayors, and that's how they're going to go to establish that plan, and that's how we're going to work with City Council to move that transportation tax and how we're going to connect all the neighborhoods together. That's how I think what they do. Thank you.
Well, I would agree. I want to, from day one, take a good look at the budget to figure out what's in there and what we can do to reduce spending without cutting services. But something across the board is just not a realistic choice. And what I'm inspired by our mayoral candidates is really when I see a vision, when I see them planning for the future in the way that previous administrations, before Mayor Buckhorn, of course, but previous leaders did not do. We're in the situation we're in now because leaders 20 and 30 years ago did not plan for the future. So when I see a vision and when I see plans for things like transportation and transit, that's when I get really excited and I look forward to working with those mayors. That mayor, only one of them, but whoever.
Thank you.
Ron, I think the question was, what's the worst idea and what's the best idea of the mayoral candidates? And it's no criticism of the candidates, but and I'm happy that we're dreaming big and we're thinking of big ideas, but the idea I think is the least viable is to put a Hyperloop station at the Rays baseball stadium in Ybor City as a way to pay for it. One of the best ideas I heard was at the Gobioff Foundation event a couple nights ago that we helped co-promote, and it was using empty buildings that the city has to put artist lofts in it. St. Pete's Warehouse Arts District has 50 artists in it with a waiting list of 600 artists, and we really don't have anything like that in Tampa. We could put hundreds of artists to work, which will be a huge engine for our economy, among many other great ideas of the candidates. Thank you.
Well, I had the opportunity to meet the mayoral candidates. I think they all offer something unique to the table to add value to the city. And I look for, if elected, I look forward to working with him or her. But the two things I really resonated with was transportation and housing. Because having worked in transportation, I understand the challenges, the constraints, the restrictions, and what we really can and cannot do. And also with housing, having the opportunity to work with people who need a home, I understand the gaps that are missing and the resources we need for bridging that gap for the housing community. I know it was mentioned earlier about the tiny homes and the container homes, and also resources that can promote rent control as well as down payment and origination fees that we can work on to get people to actually live near where they work and where they play. What negative thing I didn't like was that they one candidate didn't think that
Thank
having
you.
A town hall meeting
Thank
is
you.
Good. And I think communication is important.
With my experience as a budget advisory chair, I can wholeheartedly agree with each of the people here that said that a 10% cut is unrealistic. But I'll give you something fresh. I don't think a gondola idea makes sense. Transportation is supposed to move more people faster, and we suffer from hurricanes, number one. How are we getting people out of the city with gondolas? Number two, who wants a gondola going over their yard when you're sunbathing at the pool? That's not a good idea, and I don't think it works in terms of a transportation solution. If you want me to be honest with you about what I think is a great idea, it's what I've done reaching out to these candidates that are running that are focusing on strengthening and empowering our neighborhoods, which is the core component of my platform. I've got four of them, Cohen, Castor, Morrison, and Suarez, to commit that they will invest in our neighborhood relations department because we've gone from 6 to 3 to 1 person who's retiring next month, and we have nobody to focus on our neighborhoods, and the city has failed those neighborhoods. It's disproportionately impacted our low-income and minority neighborhoods, and those who say that they will commit in the first 90 days by passing a budget that invests in our neighborhood relations department
Thank you.
Has my support.
Thank you.
So I said a little earlier, one of the worst things that we can do is think that a strong mayor means that we have to have a weak council. So I think it's really important that we have the right sort of partner. So the worst thing I've heard is folks who are running who think that they alone can solve the city's problems. That is a really terrible recipe for disaster. I think if you ask any person up here, we all want to be partners to whomever wins the mayor's race. So that's really important for me. And then I think the best idea I've heard is people that understand that integration is the most important way for us to solve problems. So we can't talk about transportation without talking about housing, and we're doing ourselves a disservice if we don't consider the implications on education of those two previous policy initiatives. So transportation, housing, if we get it right, they do in fact have a ripple effect to education. When our kids have a more stable household, we know that they can focus, and our kids, when they focus, they succeed every single time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, this might be one of the few times that Stephen and I actually agreed on both issues. I wrote down gondolas and neighborhoods. Let me focus on the neighborhood. Going back to the first question, I offer this community my 8 years of experience on city council. When I was on city council with Linda Saul Senate for 8 years, and with Mary Mulhern for 4 years, we sat there and we defended the neighborhoods. And on Saturday mornings, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd organize a neighborhood empowerment group. It was called Neighborhood Empowerment in South Tampa because, of course, at that time I was a South Tampa representative. And we got together the department heads to come in and speak to the group. It was sort of like the Mayor's University, but we were 8 years in it, 8 years earlier. We got the department heads to come in and talk to our neighborhood leaders and teach them how to be stronger, how to make a difference, how to speak to city council, what the real issues are about traffic and noise and that sort of thing. That sort of empowerment is critical, and I'll continue that when you elect me to go back to city council.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. Ron, who's up next?
Hi, Marisa Roses, and just jokingly, I will say I'm the only gay in the house, so I'm going to have a gay question. So Ron DeSantis has eliminated civil rights protections for LGBTQ state employees and contractors doing business with the state. How will you secure civil rights for City of Tampa LGBTQ employees, contractors doing businesses with the city, and how do we reconcile with FDOT having a different policy than the city?
As an attorney, I've spent virtually my entire career defending people's rights. Our public defender over there, who's my boss, Julianne Holt, and I go to work every day to defend rights of our citizens. Right now, I'm in Veterans Court and Mental Health Court. And it's fantastic because instead of sending people to prison, we're actually getting them treatment. I don't have enough time to get in specifically into that issue, but Equality Florida is supporting me. They have endorsed me. The reason they've endorsed me is because for the last 15, 20 years, my wife and I have been on the front lines with Equality Florida in defending the rights. 20 years ago with Emmy Atkins, she and I went to the Florida Supreme Court to defend the City of Tampa Human Rights Ordinance. That human rights ordinance is still standing today, and we're going to even make it stronger when we vote on, I think it's number 16 on the ballot.
Thank you.
To also be concrete, John's right. We can support Amendment number 16 as part of the charter review process that makes sure that we protect LGBTQ folks. To answer your question, the other thing we can do, we have the power. We have the power to also, with our bully pulpit, to make sure that contracts that we give out to folks who want to do business with the city also share our values. So one of the things I think we can do right away is make sure that folks pay a living wage with good benefits, that they not only do good work, but that the quality is up to par such that things like pipes that Wendy mentioned, if and when they break and it happens over and over again, we don't continue to reward the same people. So making sure they respect those rights as well is a thing that we can do right away.
You know, I think 60 seconds is plenty of time to answer this question, Mauricio. And I'll tell you that I work in HR. And in my role, I've had an opportunity to sit down with people and develop strategies around and policies around discrimination and harassment and retaliation. Things that some of us, like myself, I'm a white straight male, I live in a bubble. And it's forced me to live outside of that bubble and understand why people feel a certain way or why they feel discriminated against. And that's what's important, is asking the question, why and how? Which means you need to create boards or partner with nonprofits and understand what is the solution and what can we do to come together and compromise and figure out what works. And so for me, the answer is listen, bring it together, strengthen and empower our neighborhoods, strengthen and empower our communities, and make sure that people have a voice so that everybody feels inclusive and everybody feels like they're equal within the city.
The Constitution says we, the people. That implies it doesn't matter who you love, where you're from, what you look like, and where you live. And that means that that applies for everyone. Tampa has become a melting pot for diversity and inclusion, which means Tampa is a city for everyone. And city council should be a representation of its people. I'm proud to say that on my staff, I have LGBT community working with me. I have hired, and I pay them $15 an hour because I support the $15 an hour act. Also, we should make stronger ordinances to diversify the equal opportunities that we can have within our city. And that is just some steps by diversifying our boards from the grassroots level. Have people that look like everyone else on these boards so everyone really does have a voice.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is my first time running for office, but I, like you all, I've listened to lots of prospective politicians speak, and they say a lot of things and don't always deliver on it. I think it's important to look at track record of the people who are speaking. I'm endorsed by Equality Florida, and I'm proud of that. Why? Because my firm has been involved in putting our money where our mouth is. We've been spending hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years defending the rights of every kind of people in the community, but especially LGBTQ rights. The first ever fundraiser for Equality Florida was at my colleague's house. A few years ago, we put in about $80,000 in pro bono time to get the human rights ordinance in Hillsborough County passed. And our firm was founded by two business people who happen to be gay. So we've had gay rights in our firm for since the history of our firm. And it's not just a rights issue. It's also, I got the same thing Lewis got. It's also a business issue. Why is it important? Because the businesses that we want to recruit here, like Amazon and all the others, they won't come here unless we have civil rights. Their employees won't come here unless we have civil rights.
Thank you. Discrimination has no place in a great city like Tampa. That's just the bottom line. It's 2019. We need to have a diversity of opinion in every case, in every place, and that's part of why I'm running. You notice there's only a few of us females up here. The city council needs to have all views, and discrimination just has no place. So I look forward to working to make sure it's as wide open a place as it can be. And without giving names, one of my very, very closest family members is part of the gay community, so it's not acceptable to me personally, and it never has been. Thanks.
Thank you. So with that said, again, there is no place. We have to have diversification, and we have to have those that can actually work together, and it has to be diversified, just like everybody says on city council and on business, and the city doing business with those businesses that have an inclusion program and that are rewriting that. A lot of businesses across the nation are rewriting how they do business, and part of that is complete inclusion. With that being said, we have to work with those businesses so we can actually move it forward, and we're encompassing everybody in our community. We do not want to single anybody out. We want to be as diversified as we can, and that can help you with business too. I mean, everywhere we go, that is what it is. It's usually a bid, and part of that bid, there is a 10% in most of those cases on that contract that has special stipulations that business will be driven to those of diversification. And it has inclusion in it. So please, and then even with disabilities too.
Thank you.
That's part of it.
Before I got elected to city council, I was a member of the Hillsborough County Human Rights Board. That's what it was called at the time. And I remember the council, this was a few years before I got elected, they created a domestic partner registry. And one afternoon I was in City Hall in the clerk's office, and I met a couple that was registering for this new domestic partner registry. And I said, congratulations. And one gentleman told me, thank you. It makes us feel welcome. And I've always remembered that because it makes us feel welcome. We want people to be welcomed in this community, inclusive in this community. I also had the endorsement of Equality Florida. I proposed what's called a conversion therapy ban, which I know has been coming up in the news lately. That did pass. But beyond that, I wasn't raised to hate. I'm the son of immigrants. I'm a first-generation American. I've always believed in diversity and inclusion and everybody feeling welcome, just like that gentleman said. And I will always fight for people to feel that way in the city of Tampa. We have the amendments on the ballot that come up. Now, when you vote, Amendment 16 is going to expand those protections to the LGBT community.
Thank you.
So support that. Thank you.
On issues like this, these are black and white issues. There's no gray. We live in the era of Charlottesville. We live in the era where transgendered Americans are being told they can't wear a uniform for their country. I'm passionate about LGBT rights 110% for many reasons. But the number one reason is because I have a son who's 12 years old. And if one day my son ever tells me, Dad, I'm gay, or ever have a daughter who tells me, Dad, I'm a lesbian, I will be damned if any governor or any state representative tells them they're a second-class citizen because of who God made them. I believe that passionately. I'm endorsed by Equality Florida, and I'm also endorsed by Betty Castor's daughter, Kathy Castor. Let's not forget, back when she was a county commissioner, 6-1 vote for gay pride, against gay pride. Who was the one vote? Congresswoman Kathy Castor. I'm proud to be endorsed by her, and I'm proud of my values. Thank you.
Thank you.
Civil rights is a timely issue, especially that we're in the month of Black History. What I would do is actually have an open door policy to our LGBT community as well, because I don't know everything that our LGBT community experiences. I would like you to be educated on what I can actually do to assist you in your cause as it relates to civil rights. And to secure that, it comes to equity. Equity is fairness. And I believe that each of these candidates here should have that platform of equity, and that's something that we should display in our representation for each of our districts throughout the city of Tampa, including our mayoral office. Thank you.
Thank you. Love the passion. Next question.
We have a new airport that, Barbara Stecks. We have a new airport that's really beautiful and is adding an increasing number of international flights. How, beyond that, how do you plan to expand Tampa into a truly international city?
Right down there.
Well, I guess I'm holding the mic, so it's my turn again. So on the back of my card that's sitting on your table, it talks about what it's going to take to make Tampa an international city. How we do that is working together. Working together to build the framework that's necessary to empower every community within the city of Tampa to make it that much more greater. There's talks about transportation to connect downtown to USF, USF to the airport, and downtown to the airport as well. Well, the current existing tracks that exist for CSX, there's only two ways that we can do this. We can either rent or lease CSX existing tracks, or the city of Tampa will have to build its own. I say that we lease these tracks and make sure that it's equitable and a fair price that we lease them for. For the Tampa airport, for us to be an international city, District 7 actually houses an international theme park. If you've ever ridden down 30th Street, you're liable to lose a tire. Something has to be done about that, because if I'm visiting from Germany or Sweden, unfortunately, it's probably I will not come back to this city to spend my money in a, on a, in an international theme park that has a street that's not repaved. Thank you.
And there's a lot of issues we can talk about. We'll talk about the big elephant in the room, which is Cuba. I kind of have a unique position in that regard, which is my parents are Cuban exiles. I recently took my first trip to Cuba about 3 or 4 months ago with my mother. My mother has returned twice in the last couple of years since my father died. I think that we have a really unique position here in the city of Tampa to continue to make that connection with Cuba. I think about my good friend who's here, Jose Valiente, who's such a good man. Himself was a Cuban exile who came here when he was about 11 or 12 years old and has made a personal journey. While he keeps his moral compass with regards to what is right and what is wrong in human rights, he makes that connection with the people of Cuba because we know that engagement works and improves the welfare of the people. That's what we've got to do as a city, is continue to have that engagement while keeping our values as Americans. And I believe that we can have both. I believe that we can have both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, in my lifetime as a Tampa native and all the changes that have happened, I think we are really becoming that international city. Last year, I took a direct flight coming back from Italy through London, London to Tampa directly. But when you want to see international, how I've seen it, go to the Riverwalk. I speak three languages, English, fluent in Italian, and Spanish. And I've met so many Italians, so many people that speak Spanish beyond who lived here. But it's amazing. And I go, why Tampa? And everybody has a different answer. It's either Cigar City Brewery, or it's Ybor City, or they're on their way to Disney World, or it's Burn Steakhouse, or the Columbia Restaurant. The list goes on and on. But people are taking notice. Not only do I believe and I agree that we do have the best airport in the world, I've been all over the place, and this airport is, you're in and out. What other airport can you say, I'm going to stop in tomorrow morning and have breakfast, and then get out within the hour and still get the free parking? You don't have that. But we have that here. We are blessed. I appreciate Joe Lupano and the Aviation Authority and everybody for all their hard work, because 30 years ago, we didn't have this. And now, Tampa's really on the map. Thank you.
And I agree. And TIA is actually in District 6, so it is passionate to us. But with that being said, again, we have to connect with all those tourists that are coming into TIA. We have to bring them out to those neighborhoods of downtown, because a lot just come in and they're catching a cruise and they're leaving. We don't want to miss that revenue that can be generated with them just coming in and catching a cruise ship. We want them to stay a day or two. We want them to see the beautiful city that we're building and redeveloping. But we also want them to enjoy the culture. We actually are, redoing Seminole Heights. We want them to enjoy. We don't want them just to go to one place. And again, most of those people that are coming into our city from other countries are actually, again, they're going to go to Disney World, they're going to catch a cruise, they are going to go to Burns because you have to try Burns, but we want to bring them to other areas. And again, that is going to rely on the transportation. We are using Lyft, we are using Uber and other share riding so that we can do that. But we actually have to still connect the neighborhoods to get
there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So two things that we can do to be that city. As I said, we're on the cusp of being that city. So I think we need to continue the things that we're doing. We need to have those transit options. We need to fix our transportation and our traffic. And you know, he's right. We need to have some curb appeal. That's the second thing. Unpaved roads are not attractive. And when people come from elsewhere, that they need to have that attractiveness. But I will tell you, I agree with Guido. I think we really already are kind of an international city. And I'll tell you what, my day job at HCC, so I raise scholarship money, as I said. We have 45,000 students, and of those, almost 2,000 are international, and they came here because we recruited them, and many of them will stay, but then some of them will go back and take the word of Tampa and take their skills that they've learned at the college back to improve their own countries. But we have, as I said, almost 2,000 of those folks, and the demographics of HCC themselves are really quite international, even with the folks who are here. We have up to a third first-generation college students, many of whom came from this from another country. So we're getting there. We're almost there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Anybody here a Rotarian or has been a Rotarian? A few. Thank you for your service. Years ago, I won't say how many the Rotary clubs in this area sponsored me to go to Singapore for a year. I studied in the MBA program to study what Singapore's urban development and international model was. And then I worked as a consultant to the Singapore government for 4 years. Came back here with a passion to try to make Tampa an international city. For 14 years, we had an airport director who thought we couldn't get international flights and actually fought against us. And you can Google my name or Jason Busto or Steve Burton in the airport, and you'll see all the stories about how he said that. Even paid for a study that proved that there was no possibility of international flights. Well, we got new management, and now you see we not only got international flights, but we got an upgraded airport. The other issue related to that is containers. Our port is, I won't bore you with the numbers, but our port is way behind other ports in the state and around the world in containers. But just recently, due to a lot of advocacy over a lot of years, we've added another container ship, and we're about to add a third one. And so we're going to change these numbers dramatically. But with that, we need to support the PR firms, the architecture firms, the law firms, the banks that are doing business internationally here.
Thanks, Bill.
And more.
60 seconds is short. Thanks for your patience.
Food, language, and culture. That's what makes us all different when we go to see another country. The first thing when you enter in Tampa Airport, how many languages is gate one translated for you? Start there. Is it just in Spanish? Do we have it in French, German, whatnot? How are we welcoming them? Language and culture. Gasparilla is the biggest example. That is part of our culture and our heritage. What other international festivals are we really having here? Are we having Diwali? I don't see it. Are we having Festival of Lights? Are we having Holi? We have something called the Color Run, which is very similar to my culture. Are we having Indian Chinese New Year, a dragon parade? These are things that people will come to see if you have it. And these are, we already have so many residents filled with different cultures within our city. We should promote them and embrace them and have a hybrid connectivity between us and everyone else. And that is what will make us international.
Thank you.
Well, I can tell you under Buckhorn, there's one country that we've definitely become much more cultured with, and that's the Ireland, right? Our St. Patrick's Day Festival is amazing, and as Viva mentioned, those are great activities. But there's one solution for two issues to how we become a more international city. And the two issues are for our residents and for our visitors, which we've heard a lot about. And the one solution is transportation, because we need to make sure that we have multimodal transportation that gets people to and from when they come here. We're talking about international city. Orlando is international with Disney. We're about to have Brightline come here and deliver more tourists here. That's more money in our pockets from sales taxes and things like that. So we need to invest in our transportation to make sure we move people around. And we need to invest in our transportation because larger companies and better companies will come here offering better economic opportunity and better jobs to the students who attend Hillsborough Community College and USF, who has a large international student population. And we need to retain that talent if we want our city to go to the next level and move Tampa forward.
Thank you.
Barbara, that's a very good question. And I tell anyone that'll listen that we live in paradise. So we have a very tough job because we have to figure out how to make paradise even better. And the secret's out because we have about 109 million people that'll come visit Florida. And like everyone else, selfishly, I want them to come to Tampa, right? We need that share of wallet for revenue. But we already do a couple things really well. We mentioned the airport. That's very, very attractive. We can also highlight organizations like the JCC, who houses an Israeli incubator program. That's a really positive step forward, partnering with a private organization the city does. We can also do the same thing in Africa. I know there are a variety of folks who are looking at the JCC-Israeli partnership and looking to do the same thing in Africa. So we have the right infrastructure to do it. As we get the offer transportation dollars rolling in, we can make sure we have the right infrastructure that can support that type of movement. But I think we're headed in the right direction.
Thank you.
Andy? What makes us unique as a community? I'd say Tampa Bay, but Mario would fuss at me. But we are Tampa. And the bottom line is as Viva pointed out very well, it's our culture, our unique historic culture, and it's also our historic preservation efforts. But let's talk about culture for a second. Dana Greco, Linda Salsena, Kathy Bartolotti, many others in this room. Your families go back more than 100 years in this community. We need to celebrate that because that's what makes us different from Orlando or Fort Lauderdale or other places, similar places that we're competing with in terms of tourism. Historic preservation. For 8 years, I sat at Linda's, was my tutor in terms of historic preservation. But look at the areas we've improved. Hyde Park used to be a slum. Who remembers that? Okay, you've been around. Hyde Park was a slum, but when historic preservation set in, now it's one of the most desirable places. Same thing with Tampa Heights. I think Nick lives up there, but Seminole Heights, Tampa Heights, et cetera. These are areas that we're just starting on historic preservation. As
Thank
a
you.
City councilman, that's what I
Thank
did,
you, John.
And that's what I'll continue to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, next question.
Hi, I'm Larry Corwin. Briefly, would you vote to protect our historic properties even in cases where the building's owners don't want it?
Yes. And I'll give you a classic example. When I first got on council in 2003, there was an extremely important effort to save our cigar factories. And I felt like even though somebody might have bought that cigar factory, okay, when they bought that cigar factory, they had a responsibility not only to their profit motive or what have you, to not only not tear it down, but to improve it and preserve it for everybody. Because that cigar factory, and there's not a lot left of them, we started with 100 and we're down to about 15 or 20. But those cigar factories are our cultural asset. And the answer, Larry, is yes, we will continue to preserve those types of properties and other similar assets that we all have together. Thank you.
Thank you.
The answer for me is also yes. John mentioned a really good example. That's a very good example. And I think that probably the reason why they would say no is because they don't know their resources exist for them to be able to take care of those repairs with good quality grants at the state and local level. Another example I would give to you, it is Black History Month. Quentin mentioned that. We have a very historic property in the Jackson House, which we know that people actually want those renovations, but they need partners on city council and county commission, as well as in our legislature, who can make sure we direct those funds to make sure that project gets saved. And if you don't know about that issue, it's something that's near and dear to Bill's heart, so I'll lead Bill with that one. But it's an opportunity for us to save a really historic property that means a whole lot to our community.
Thank you.
You know, the answer is yes. We want to preserve and we want to make sure that our historical integrity of our neighborhoods is preserved. And what we have to do as a city council is look at how we're making sure that that can happen. Are we looking at our code and making sure that the building code is making it so we maybe incentivize those who would rather tear it down instead of doing an adaptive reuse? Are we making sure that there's ways for them to do that successfully without all the red tape and without all the costs? Because a lot of times they look at it and say, it's going to cost me more to tear this down, or it's going to cost me more to rebuild this than it would to be tearing it down. And we know developers are in the market to make money. So I think number one, yeah, that's true. In terms, if we can do that, we won't have to say when developers don't want to do it or when somebody owns a home and they don't want to do it, because we're going to make it easier for them. If we don't do that and somebody wants to tear it down, unfortunately, I'm not going to make them do something they can't do. In the end, that's going to cost the city money. We're going to go under litigation, and that's an irresponsible way to deal with taxpayers' dollars. We're going to be paying money because it's a property owner's rights. So if we incentivize and we make it easier through code and changes, then we can do that.
Thank you.
Yes.
But also keep in mind that we can't control what people want to do with their property. That's out of our hands. So the best thing to do, the next best thing, is to work with them. Give them resources, give them incentives to make it historic. Make it historic, make it beautiful, make it what we can make it as having history. We look at the codes, we look at the ordinance, and how can we make future properties that we know that are going to be over 100 years old, that architecture we're not going to get again, how can we make those historic? What are those ordinances? What are those codes that we can do to promote, to maintain the history and integrity that we have within the city? So instead of just looking at today, let's also look at other options so we can be ready for tomorrow for making Tampa a more historic and recognized city for everyone to see.
Thank you.
I think people who know me know that I've been an advocate for historic preservation for a long time. So yes, I would fight really hard to keep whatever historic buildings we can. The way I got involved as a neighborhood activist is I bought a 1921 house in historic Hyde Park, and I realized we were in the National Historic District, but not the City Historic District, so all the houses around me could be torn down easily, and we still haven't solved that problem. I'll tell you a couple quick stories. Our firm is so into historic preservation, we're about to move our office to 7th Avenue in Ybor. Why? Because the creative people, the innovation people, the IT people of our area are moving to Ybor. They're creating an innovation community in Ybor because they want to be around the history and culture. Nick mentioned the Jackson House. Linda Salsen and a group of us tried to save it a few years ago, and the city fought against us. And while they spent about $800,000 ripping out a historic building, the Bro Bowl, they could have spent the money on the Jackson House and saved an important African-American structure.
Thank you. Clearly, yes. I mean, Tampa is a historic place. I grew up in a little town on the other coast of Florida that, you know, has been around for maybe 50 or 80 years. And so moving to Tampa, it was really inspiring to see our history still on our streets and in our homes. So clearly we need to do everything we can to do this, to save those structures, but we do need to do it proactively ahead of time so that we're not trying to fight a homeowner or an owner of a building who already owns that building and has plans for it. So we need to identify them ahead of time, and as Stephen said, be proactive in the laws and the ordinances that we pass so that we can protect them ahead of time. Thanks.
Thank you.
I believe the consensus is going to be yes by all of us. You can't regain history. You can't go back and rebuild it that way. So what we have, let's preserve it. And by preserving it again, we have to work with the developers of someone that buys it. I live in a 1920s neighborhood, and I've seen houses that have been taken down because they just didn't meet, and the developer, the builder, that the homeowner that bought it wanted something different. We need to preserve them, but we need to do it correctly, and we need to work with the codes, and we need to work with other city agencies so that we can preserve them. I believe in developing them and giving breaks if we can give a tax break, or can we work with them on that to bring it back up to standards. And it's going to cost developers, but in the end, it will actually bring people back there, and people enjoy, and we love the culture of what history has that we already have developed, and it brings everybody together. So don't try to destroy it.
Thank you.
When I voted consistently against TBX, it wasn't just because I don't believe in the interstate widening, finding solutions. It's because I didn't want more houses in the Heights and in West Tampa to be demolished, many that were historic. I wish, and I've often said this, I wish that I was born 50 years earlier. I'm born in 84, so 1934. Because before I was around, there was something called urban renewal that was extremely aggressive, not just with the interstate coming through our community, but in the demolishing of so much of Ybor City, so much of West Tampa, so much of downtown. I remember speaking to one of my, I'll call him a political hero, and I said, you were around back then. How could you let all these buildings get demolished? Art Deco and Beaux Arts and all this beautiful architecture. And his response was, we didn't have Art Deco. We didn't have preservation. It needed a new roof, and it cost more than the building was worth, and we needed parking for the cars, so we demolished it. And we lost so much of our history. Now, I understand there's private property rights, and we have to be careful, but we can be advocates for historic preservation
Thank
and preserving
you.
Our culture and history.
We, and I would agree with my colleague, we have to utilize all available resources to preserve our history. The big idea is knowing our history as what I call Tampanians. We are the city of so many great figures. We are the city of Arthena Joyner. We are the city of E.J. Salsinas. We are the city of that great World War II hero who fought fascism overseas and came back home to take over the NAACP after Harry T. Moore was murdered, Robert Saunders. We're the home of Baldomero Lopez and of Robert Ray Smith.
Paul Ray Smith, excuse me, so many great Tampanians who have given so much over years and years and years to building our culture and our society, and our history continues to be built day by day, including in New Tampa, where so many Middle Eastern Americans live and are living the American dream. We have to utilize all of our available resources and laws to preserve our culture and history.
Thank you.
The short answer is yes, I do favor historic preservation. One of our forums that me and Lewis recently attended was in North Forest Hills. One of the things that they requested was the historic preservation of the Babes of Harris Golf Course. Now, this is something that have already been accomplished with our current elected that's in office. Our current incumbent has been in office for 2 years, but this is a request that continues to be presented to the representation for District 7. Another thing as it relates to historicity of the city, I don't believe that any of the city council members or our mayor should impede the property rights of an individual. What it takes is educating that particular property owner as to the historicity of that building, to whether we can come to a conclusion as to what's going to be beneficial for the community, for the property owner, as well as the historic preservation of that particular building. Thank you.
Thank you. It is 1:02. We're going to do one more question we can get through, and I believe we can get you out around 1:15. So thank you for your patience and staying with us. We want to respect your time, but go ahead, Gary.
Gary Dalgin. All of you have met many citizens on the campaign trail. I'm wondering if you could share a story about maybe a particular person or that you've met that has inspired you perhaps to do something differently on city council than you had thought about when you first started running?
Great question. Thank you, Gary. Yes, and I would relay that to the two individuals that I invited to me to be here with me today. Ms. Cheryl DeLong, who lives in the Poinsettia community of North Tampa, and my mother, Donna, who's here as well, who lives in Castle Heights. Well, thank you. So one of the things that has inspired me and empowered me to actually run for this particular seat in District 7 is because of it being overlooked and underserved for the past 20 years. I've had this conversation with a few of our journalists in the area, and what has happened is that communities south of Fowler Avenue for a long period of time have been overlooked and underserved. We have an elected official who currently has no plan to empower District 7. That's an issue to me. My fear and my heartfelt concern is that if we reelect Mr. Vieira, he will continue to overlook and underserve all of District 7.
Thank you.
It needs to be more.
Our time is up on that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm asking for your vote. Quentin F. Robinson.
I would say a gentleman that I met, and I think it was actually after I filed, so what qualifies my campaign, Mike Nicholson, who I had the great pleasure of meeting Mike Nicholson through Howard Altman with the Tampa Bay Times. Mike Nicholson is a native to Tampa who signed up to become a Marine and went in combat in Afghanistan and lost both his legs and his left arm due to an IED. I work with Mike in order to promote the Warrior Games. Mike would emotionally get himself back up and compete in the Warrior Games and would win 6 medals. And I always tell people, Mike's greatest achievement isn't just winning those medals, it's coming back home after being at Walter Reed for God knows how long, having a kid and raising a family, and getting himself back up. It has been really the honor of my life to work with our veterans and people like Mike Nicholson for the Warrior Games. That's inspired me. When you run for city council, you think about potholes. You don't think about working in things like the Warrior Games. And I also got to meet John Stewart, which was kind of cool. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I really don't know where to begin because there's so many people in this room that have inspired me that I keep in communication with on a regular basis that I will call for advice. Andy Scaglione or Linda Salsana or Missy Martin or Sandy Sanchez or Sam Shaw. I mean, I can go on and on, but the friendships and the relationships that I've been able to build over these last more than 4 years are irreplaceable. And, you know, and I get emotional, but I appreciate you and you make me a better person. And I'm honored to serve you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think walking these neighborhoods and new to this race and meeting neighbors that I've never met before, what I have found is that I spent some time, almost a half an hour with an older couple, that they've been married over 50 years. They still live in their same home together. They have their children who have grown and moved, but they can't even walk on a sidewalk because they don't have one in their neighborhood. And that is something that I looked at, and I said they live in a beautiful home on a beautiful street, and they don't have a sidewalk because one walks with a walker. So they can only get from their house to their car to go places when they have an assisted van that they have with them. So I think with that is that we look at this, and everything that we have is that we make our neighborhoods accessible, and that I can do that. We can do that moving forward. We have an aging population too, and we actually have to look at that for our young.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm a first-time candidate, and so I wasn't really prepared, honestly, for how much I was going to enjoy campaigning. I know I'll very much enjoy leading our city, but campaigning was a surprise, so it's been terrific to meet so many different people. I will say that I won't point at one particular one, but I do hear from a lot of moms, maybe because I'm a mom myself, about safety around schools. So that's definitely become a serious priority for me, and I know that sometimes that school board, you know, not us, but working together with those folks is going to be a real priority for me and working on those particular areas so our kids can walk to school if they want to. And then I was very inspired this summer, actually before I even got in the race, as I was considering doing it, by a young woman who's been brought here by Jeff Vinnick's group to run the tech startup thing. Her name is Lakshmi Shenoy. And I keep telling this story. I need to tell her this story. But she was talking about Tampa, and she was talking about the optimism and the potential that our city has. And it was so cool to see somebody from a really great city, Chicago, talking about how excited she was to be here and how much she thinks we can do. So those are just a couple stories.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
The thing that I've been inspired by is the opportunity for advocacy and to provide access. Knocking on a lot of doors, talking to lots of people. I'll give you two quick snippets. One was a lady who's been living in her house for about 40 years, and she said, there's just a speedway in front of my house. We talk about potholes, but people are worried about speed. And she said, I just wish there was a stop sign. And so I called Harry Cohen, who's in the seat now, and said, can you just please contact her, get Ian to contact her and try to provide something. She had never reached out to anybody like that before. And so the access and being able to connect people. The other one is that I met a mother who has a son who has disabilities, and she said, we need to not only work on affordable housing, but also accessible housing. And I'm on the policy committee of the Tampa Chamber, and instantly I recommend it. We need to not only say affordable, but accessible. And there are little points like that where we can add value by listening carefully to what the public says. Bill Carlson, District 4, thank you.
Thank you.
I've had the opportunity to listen to a lot of residents, and the ones that resonated to me the most was a few stories. I'll try to make it fast. One was a student who has epilepsy, like my son, who lived off campus of USF, and the heart stopped coming. So now she pays $600 a month to take Uber to and from college. My son doesn't even get the opportunity, and heart is already cut for him. So transportation is a must. Another one, I met an elderly couple just this weekend, how they take Uber to the Strass Center because the parking for handicapped parking is not very convenient for them from the garage. So we should think of other little ways to help our children with disabilities, our seniors, and our everyone else in the community. Another thing, a personal one. My father, 7 months ago, called 911. He passed way before the ambulance ever got there. Don't take my word for it, but you read a few weeks ago how the ambulance broke down on a father who had a heart attack.
Thank you.
We need
time's up. Thank you. We got to keep moving.
At work.
Thank you. I've had an opportunity, for those that don't know, I just had a little girl on Thanksgiving. And so I've been blessed with the opportunity to walk doors every single day because I'm on paternity leave. And I've met everybody from the cat lady down in Palmetto Beach to Flagman in Forest Hills. And if you want the stories, ask me about them. And while I don't know that they've necessarily changed my resolve on what the platform is that I'm running on, strengthening and empowering neighborhoods, infrastructure improvement, and sound fiscal policy, what it has done is strengthen that opportunity for strengthening and empowering our neighborhoods. Because while a lot of us deal with the same issues in neighborhoods like transportation and crime, there's a lot who have specific issues like stormwater, or how are they balancing density with preserving the historical integrity of their neighborhood. And so we need to invest in our neighborhood relations department so that we can make sure that we can have their voices heard, that we have neighborhood associations who represent every neighborhood in the city, and that they have a voice in front of city council, in front of our mayor, so they can prioritize their projects and get things done. And that's what I'd say.
Thank you.
You asked a really good question. So I'll give you two really quick ones. The first one is I spent a little bit of time with Muslims for Democracy and Fairness a couple days ago. And as part of that interview process, they asked us to sign a pledge, a candidate pledge, about diversity and inclusion. And that was a really disappointing day for me. The fact that we needed to sign that pledge says that we have a long way to go. But I was very proud to sign it. So they inspire me. A couple days ago, in the middle of a really busy couple weeks for us, we had a lot of forums. I got a chance to meet with the Boys and Girls Club of Tampa Bay down on Mango, south of Gandy. And I got asked a lot of questions that range from how much money do you make by the kids to has the government shutdown impacted Tampa? Really, really smart questions. But I think for both of those groups, what they really want is new, fresh ideas with new perspective. That's why I'm running. And so for me, I think that service is not a birthright. It's the honor of a lifetime. And we owe it to ourselves to make sure that we elect people that desperately want to be of service to this community. It's not about the same recycled ideas. It's about new, fresh perspective.
And thank you.
I hope they're on your support this March.
Seniors inspire me, especially seniors who've really worked hard in this community. Peggy Land is a supporter of mine, and she's a classic example of that. I've known Peggy for years, but... Of course, my wife, Lynn, not a senior, but but sitting next to her is my mother, Adele, who is an inspiration to me. She overcame polio in 1953 to have me 3 years later here at Tampa General Hospital in 1956. But to answer your question, which is a good one, a couple of weeks ago, Lynn and I went over to Barcelona to the little house that I was born and raised in. And across the street was Ms. Betty. And Ms. Betty's been there since 1947. And she watched me come home from the hospital. And we sat on her front porch and we reminisced. And she said, Johnny, I remember when
Thank
you jumped
you.
Out of that tree.
We don't get to hear the end of this
oh
story.
My God.
I'm so sorry.
Come up
sorry.
And I'll tell you more. John
I'm
Dingthalter.
So sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can hang on to that for 1 second. I want to thank the candidates for your patience with me and the time constraints that we have today, but we covered a lot of information. We got to know each one of you, and I am going to have one more thing for you, so think on this for a minute. If you would leave us with one word other than your name, if you would. I'm going to make a couple of announcements while y'all think through this. I do want to thank again Andrew, our timekeeper. He's got the hardest job here. I would say that Tampa International was a big winner today, don't y'all think? Yes. Thank you also to our table sponsor today with us, Tucker Hall. We're very grateful for their sponsorship and support. I would refer you to our media partners with TBAE. They air our shows every Wednesday and Sunday at 9 p.m., so you can tune in. This weekend will be our recent awards, and then this one will be the following weekend, and we really appreciate what they do for us. The Garfield Committee, y'all can be convening, and we're going to do one word. Let's see who can really and truly follow directions. I know this is going to be really hard. Go ahead, John, and let's get started. One word.
I'm not good at following directions.
Nope, you're done.
But the word is experience. Thank you.
One word.
Fresh. Potential.
Connection.
Vision.
Courage.
Compassionate.
Vote. Authentic.
Equity.
Wonderful.